Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Well, it's my joy and privilege to be able to share the word of God with you today. I've been loving this series, On Top of Your World. Who else has been enjoying? We've been looking at being on top of our heart, our mind, and our body. And primarily, we've been looking at that God actually really cares about these areas of our world and that He wants to be involved in these areas, but also that He wants us disciplined in these areas. He wants us to manage these areas. And when we do that, that means then we're on top of the world. He wants us to rule over these areas and not by them. And today, we're going to look at our last series today on money. And our title today is called My Money Matters. And who knows that money does matter? You know, we spend Monday to Friday most of the week working for our money. It matters to you. It matters to God. And let me just share with you. In the Bible, there are 2,300 scriptures that speak on money and possessions. A tenth of all that Jesus said was about money. 16 of his parables, of the 38 parables he spoke on, deals with how to handle money and possessions. And so today, as I've been preparing and praying for today, you know, I'm going to actually take a fairly practical approach to how we manage our money, how to be on top of our world. And I'll be speaking a lot out of the book of Proverbs, which means it's like the wise approach to dealing with money. But I know that when a preacher preaches, the Holy Spirit can do more than just the words of the preacher. And I've been believing today a couple of things. I believe that today is a day of decision for some people to make some wise choices about their finances. I also believe that we can make faith steps with our finances. And so as I speak on different topics today in different parts, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to be kind of challenging some people, stirring some people, maybe reminding some people. And that out of today, I always believe that out of the preached word that you apply it. And so let today be a day of decision. I also want to just say I believe it's a day of breakthrough. Because I know sometimes finances can be a place of restriction. It can be a place of warfare. It can be a battle even within marriages. And if that is you today and you need a breakthrough in your financial world, we're going to open up the time at the end of the service for prayer. And I'd really encourage you, if you want a breakthrough in your financial world, take hold of today, because I believe that God can bring a breakthrough in people's finances. About 20 years ago, I had an encounter with God. And He really challenged me to get mentors in my world. He said, Manda, look for people that you can aspire to be like them, to learn from them, to grow from them, to imitate them. And He said, get live ones, get far away ones, get near ones, but also get some from the Bible, some characters in the Bible that you can go, I want to be like that person. And during that time, the Lord led me to Proverbs 31. And there's a whole passage about, and we'll call her the Proverbs 31 woman. Sometimes she's called the wife of noble character. In other more modern translations, she's called the good wife. But also at the same time, I read this book called Beautiful in God's Eyes. And it actually goes through the Proverbs 31 woman. And I remember very clearly one day, God really challenged me and said, do you really want to be like her? And I went, I took my Bible and the book and I took it to my chest and I prayed a prayer and I said, Lord, I want to be everything that this woman is. I want you to take me on a journey of becoming strong and dignified like this woman is. And so today I'm going to be speaking out of the Proverbs 31 woman. And I want to just encourage you today that if you're a man, embrace the Proverbs 31 woman. Let me tell you why. Firstly, it is the words about a woman, but they are written by man. And they're actually written by King Lemuel. But secondly, and probably most importantly, is that the Proverbs 31 woman is the very epilogue of the whole of the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And all through the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified. And so wisdom is referred to as a woman, and when wisdom is talked about, it's often as a she. And interestingly, as you read the book of Proverbs, you actually see wisdom mature. She begins in the streets calling out aloud. She's going, "Follow me, follow me." And also Folly's going, "Follow me, follow me." And then she matures, she makes a home. And in Proverbs 31, we actually see her in her home, in a family, in a business, doing work. And so as we read the Proverbs 31 today, I don't want you just to think of it as a woman. I want every man and woman here to actually recognize this is wisdom. Wisdom in relationships, wisdom in the family, wisdom in work, wisdom, and primarily today, on how she deals with her money. And so because it's the words of a man, I'm actually going to invite James to come up and read it through. Thank you, James.
No worries. Oh, thank you.
Yes, let's give him a clap.
That's so nice. That's fantastic. All right. Proverbs 31:10, a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works her eager hands. She is like a merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes the coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchant with sashes. She is clothed with a strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of the idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her work bring her praise at the city gate.
Beautiful. Thank you, James. Let's just show James appreciation. Thank you. Well, while I was reading Beautiful in God's Eyes, this is 20 years ago, there was a statement that was written in this book that really captured my heart. And it says this: she knows how to make money, manage money, and multiply money. And today I'm going to speak on those three areas. So can you just with me join in and go, we need to make money, we need to manage money, and we need to multiply money. And, you know, if we have all three of those areas in our world doing well, then we will be on top of our world with our money. So let's begin. Make money. You know, apart from winning the lottery, that'd be nice, but I don't actually buy lottery tickets, so that's never going to happen, or being bequeathed with money, primarily the main way you make money is to work. And so let's talk a little bit about work. The Proverbs 31 woman has a great work ethic. I really love this verse. I think it captures how she sees her work and how she does her work. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. Oh, I love that word, vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. You know, I see this woman as she works eagerly, she works energetically, she works hard, and she works smart. I also see that she wakes up early in the morning to work, and she even works at night. Now, when I see that, and I'm a life coach, I think, oh, she's got life out of balance. However, I don't actually, when I read this, I don't think she's out of balance, because her family don't seem not happy, And this woman herself doesn't seem stressed. And so I think she's been able to find the balance between work and family. In the book of Proverbs, which is the book on wisdom, there's two themes that are very strong, and they are work and laziness. And there's a scripture in Proverbs 10, verse 4 that says this, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." And when you read the book of Proverbs, what you often see is a comparative picture and also a saying that has a consequence or a behavior that has a consequence. And this scripture has this fantastic, very simple comparison. Lazy hands equals poverty. Diligent hands equals wealth. And I love this kind of comparison picture. You know, in the if you just look up poverty in the dictionary, it means there's a lack, there's a want, there's a need in your household. But God does not want us living in poverty. He does not want that. But He does have a promise all through His Bible about wealth. There's many scriptures that talk about wealth, that talk about riches, that talk about abundance. But how do we get this wealth is when we're diligent with our hands, when we actually work hard. We can't just wait for it to, you know, kind of fall from heaven or have the money tree in the back garden. We actually need to work hard. The Proverbs 31 woman is described. It says, she does not eat the bread of idleness. I really like this word, idle. You know, I think idle means you're a bit lazy, you're a bit hanging around, maybe you're procrastinating. But I think the opposite to being idle is that you initiate, that you make things happen. And I think she's a make it things happen girl. And I've always wanted to be a make it things happen girl. Does anyone else want to be a make it things happen person? I love that she's passionate. I love that she's a businesswoman. And I particularly have been inspired by her as a businesswoman. She actually has a craft. She has a trade. And that trade is that she is able to spin yarn or wool. And then she takes what she spins and she creates fabric in which she then sews, and she produces clothes, which she clothes her whole household, but then she on-sells them. And she's actually very well known for her trade. One of the other things that I read in this book that really touched my heart and kind of put a spur in my saddle was this. She made something professional out of something personal. And I love that her personal art of sewing, she turned into a business. And I just want to stir some people today. Maybe you've got a personal that you could actually find a way to make money out of. It could be a hobby. It could be an interest. It could be a skill or a knowledge or even a resource that you have, like a house, that you can actually take your personal and form it into money. Over the years, Pat and I have had 4 businesses. And each one of them has required a step of faith. And each one of them has actually sat on a personal thing that we've done. My husband by trade is a biologist, an environmental biologist. So he loves the bush, he loves the flora and the fauna, and that's his kind of profession. And when he finished his master's in environmental biology, there were just no jobs around. And so he just started to dream and let the Holy Spirit use his imagination to think, well, what could I do with this personal thing that I've got and turn it into a profession? And so in that dreaming time, the Holy Spirit said, well, maybe you could start a business running environmental excursions for school kids based on the geography and the biology syllabuses. It saves the teachers doing work. So out of that, when we were 22 and 24, we started our first business running environmental excursions all over the beaches. And since then, about 8 years ago, I started my coaching business. And really that started out of a personal thing. It started out of you know, I always used to get into trouble for asking too many questions, but that's what a coach does. They ask questions. And I'm good at untangling people's problems. And so I took my personal into a professional. There's 2.1 million small businesses in Australia, and 55,000 failed last year. And I read stats like that, and it actually grieves me. And today, if you are in small business, either I feel like there's some people here that have got the seed of a small business in them. And if you want to today just join with someone in prayer and say, I want to start a small business, you know, let's do that today. But I also encourage if anyone's struggling in small business today, you know, I believe God can bring a breakthrough for you today as well. With her work, the other thing I love about this is that your work can actually lead you to promotion. Whether you've got a business or whether you're, you know, working for someone else, do a good job with your work and you will be honoured and you will be promoted. Verse 31 says this, honour her for all that her hands have done and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And let me read another proverb, Proverbs 22 verse 29. It says this, do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. You know, I love this, that whatever you do, if you do it with all your might, with all your heart, with all your skill, that you actually will get noticed. You will get honoured. You will get promoted. And it will be a place of influence for you in your own life. So that's the first one. We're going to make money. Number two, we're going to manage money. Many years ago, when Pat and I were newly married, and we were actually members of this church, we were down at DY, the church put on a full-day finance workshop. It was run by a Christian American accountant by the name of Malcolm McGregor, and I still remember the title of the whole day. It was called Your Money Matters, so we're kind of bouncing out of that today. And by doing that course, Pat and I really set our married early married life up with some really wise financial advice. And we learned how to budget from that workshop and just how to manage our money. And let's have a look at a quote from Malcolm McGregor. He says this, if you are not managing money, money is managing you. So another thing that I love about the Proverbs 31 woman is it says that she watches over the affairs of her household. Now, when you watch, you actually need to kind of step away and step up and look over something. I've got this little kind of principle in my life of you can be a turkey. We have brush turkeys in our back garden. Anyone else got these annoying little things? I've got the brush turkeys that, you know, you can be a brush turkey in life and just every day you're working hard and you're doing and you're spending. But we need to be the eagle that comes above our finances and watches over our finances. And the watching over, the kind of the eagle effect is when you have a vision for your finances. It's when you take time to plan. In our household, we call it figuring out the state of the nation. And so Pat and I will say, okay, we need to talk about the state of the nation. And we will sit down and actually, as a husband and wife, talk through our financial world. And I think that's really significant that you do that together in marriage. This is a great scripture to live by out of Proverbs. Proverbs 21 verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Now, once again, we've got this comparative picture and a contrasting with consequences. We've got diligent person who makes plans equals, what does it equal? Profit. Who likes profit? I like profit. Let's have profit. Whereas haste leads to poverty. And I think when it comes to being on top of our world with our money, making plans is a really just a wise thing to do. It's taking time to plan, and it's also using planning systems. So let me talk now about just two practical things and two practical plans that you can have. The first one is a savings plan. And, you know, we need to save, because if we don't save, then we probably won't save. And so it's significant that we save, because there are big bills that we need to pay. There's times where we have emergency payments. If you're self-employed and you need to pay tax, if you want to pay off a debt or a mortgage, if you want to save for a project or a holiday or save to invest or long-term saving for retirement. King Solomon sometimes is very blunt in his instructions. And he does this great instruction in Proverbs 6. He says, go and look at the ant. He says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. It's quite blunt, isn't it? Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. You know, I don't know if you've ever actually gone and looked at an ant, but every now and then I do, because there's wisdom here. It says go and look at the ant. And they're busy little things, aren't they? They're on a mission. They know how to communicate with each other. But here it's saying that they work hard without an overseer, so they've got that initiative thing. They're not being idle. But also they're being smart, because they're actually storing food away for when there is a lean time. And so that's really what savings is all about. And I think with savings, we have to have a structure. So when I used to teach this course at college, I would really encourage the college students to open up some bank accounts that you can actually save money into. And I always used to love it when college students would come up to me the next week and go, oh, I opened up my account. And I go, yay, that's fantastic. And sometimes you can even have multiple savings accounts. And I just know the power of a willful choice. And that when you choose to save and you put your heart and your determination to it, it's amazing what you can do. I was thinking of in 2005, we had a global conference in Hawaii. And as pastors, we were being covered for it. But I had this faith thing that I wanted to go as a family. I wanted to bring my children to that conference and also have a holiday. And so I made it a faith project, but also a willful choice project. I opened a bank account, and then what we did, because we were on a set income, we didn't have extra cash, I looked at different ways to find extra cash. And so the resource I had was my home. And what happened was I used to have Japanese students come in, and my kids would adore them and look after them. And that was the way that we got to Hawaii, just simply because we made a determination and we made the structure to allow that to happen. The second thing that we need to have, or second plan, is a spending plan. And a spending plan means you have identified how you spend money, what goes in and what goes out. And when you have a spending plan, it gives you purpose, strategy, and freedom. I found that most times if you ask people, how do you feel about budget, they primarily go, ugh. It's like constraint. But a budget actually is a liberating force, because it empowers you to tell your money where to go. And up on the screen, we've got a bunch of different online resources, because we're not going to go into the hows and the whys of budgeting, but on the screen, you might like to just take a photo of it. There's some great websites that will give you budget plans, also apps for your phone that are really good for helping you to outwork your budget and outwork your spending plan. So that's number two. We're going to manage our money. Number three is that we're going to multiply our money. And primarily, there are two ways to multiply your money. The first is the earthly way of investing, and the second is the heavenly way of giving. So let me just talk about the earthly way of investing. I really love the Proverbs 31 woman because she didn't just do her skill, her trade, and make clothes and start a business. She then made money in that business, took the money that she made and invested it, because it says that she bought property and she bought a vineyard. Now, any wine lovers here, that's probably a nice thing to do, isn't it? Jesus teaches three parables about stewardship of money. And in all three, the message is the same, that God puts money in our hands and he requires us to go and put it to work. And he's seeing if we are responsible to be good stewardship, to be good stewards of the money that he gives us. A principle that I always see it as is it's God's money and he puts it in my hands and he wants to see what I do with it. God's money in your hands. And the beautiful thing out of these parables that talk about stewardship is if you do make your money work, if you do multiply your money, that God actually rewards you. He has a smile on his face. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful with money, you know, money is actually a test. Often God, I believe, tests future leaders on how they can handle money. And if you handle money well, he will not only give you more money, but he will give you more responsibilities. I believe investing is putting our money to work. And I think the aim is to have multiple income streams that are making money work for you even when you're asleep. Who thinks that's a good idea? So Pat and I have tried numerous ways to invest money. Some of them have been good and some of them haven't. About 15 years ago, we had an opportunity to invest in something that we, to be quite honest, didn't do our due diligence with. We borrowed money and we lost a lot of money. And it caused us great heartache for many, many, many years. And I might be speaking to someone here today who is going through this at the moment, that you have lost money and that you are still reaping the consequences of money, of the toughness and the pressure that comes with losing money. But 5 years ago, after numerous attempts to invest in different ways, we just got this rah in our spirit that said, if we don't do something now, then we are not going to retire well. And we made a choice to get back up on the horse and to invest again. And using the equity in our home, we looked at different things. You know, there's different ways, and I'm not a financial advisor, but there's obviously shares and real estate, and we felt more comfortable with real estate. And so what happened was I just got this grunt in me that said, I'm going to buy a property. I'm going to buy an investment property. And so we looked at all different options. We were looking at mining towns, and we were looking here, there, and everywhere. And in the end, I just said, no, let's just buy on the Northern Beaches. It's safe. It goes generally up, not at the moment, but generally. And so every Saturday for 9 months, I went looking at houses. Because we had to buy a positively geared house that would make money. And so that was looking for a double income investment. And so I only went to houses that had a granny flat or whatever. And I went for 9 months. And then finally I walked into this house and I went, wow, this is it. We could actually do this. And out of that, we did actually negotiate. And interestingly, in the middle of negotiations, my husband went on one of his bush hikes up a mountain somewhere. And I was the one negotiating. And the morning I woke up when I was negotiating, I heard the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear these words, she considers a field and buys it. And I thought, yes, This is the Proverbs 31 woman. I'm buying a field. And we did buy that place. And since then, we've bought another place, which is a double income place. And we also converted our house with an apartment. And so over the last 5 years, we now have 5 rental streams. And I only say that more to stir us. And we have only done that because we watched Mark and Kerry Saundercock do it. And so I think the power of seeing other people do things and this iron sharpens iron is, you know, I want to see us blessed as people. But it does take steps of faith and it takes steps of wisdom. And I want to finish on just there's a heavenly way to give. There's a heavenly way to make money, and that's through giving. And we can give to others and we can give to God. And I love the Proverbs 31 woman because she is so generous. You know, there's this theme through the Proverbs 31 woman about hands. It's the hands that work hard, but then there's the hands that give. And it says that she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And I always want to be a person who doesn't just contain what God has given me, but I release what God has given me, because we are blessed to be a blessing. And when we give out of what God gives us, then I can assure you there's so many scriptures that whatever you give away, God will bless you and you will make. The Proverbs 31 woman finishes describing her as a woman who fears the Lord. I love that. She fears the Lord. And really, this is a picture of wisdom, because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And how do we fear the Lord with our finances? I think it's always recognizing that God owns everything. And that whatever God gives us, he puts in our hands for us to steward, but also to honor him with our wealth. And in Proverbs 3, 9 to 10, it says these words: honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Now, I don't really have any crops, unfortunately, except for my little basil plant on my kitchen bench. But it's not really a crop, is it? But I have business, and I have, you know, my income from my work. What is your crop? And you take your first fruit. It's that first 10% portion. It's called the tithe. And you bring that to God as an honoring of God for all that he has given you. And that is something that Pat and I have done consistently ever since we have been married. And this passage, this verse continues with a promise. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. I love that. What's your barn? I don't have a barn, but I've got bank accounts. I have houses. What is your barn that could be filled to overflowing? Your vats to brim over with new wine. And I believe that as we are on top of our world with our money, first and foremost is that we honor God. And he will protect your finances, he will provide for you, and I can assure you, he will prosper you, because the scripture says that your house will be filled to overflowing. So why don't we just thank the Lord today for this word.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.